Hello, it's Monday the 15th of February. I'm Rob Watson. This is the latest of my sound walks. A bit rushed today. I kind of should have done this over the weekend, but unfortunately I wasn't able to get out. I was quite busy. So I thought, I've got an hour at lunchtime on Monday, and the nice thing is that the weather is broken. It's warmer, it's milder, it's about 11 degrees apparently, and the sky is blue and the sun shines through the occasional cloud, and as you can hear in the background, there's a load of kids out playing in the park. I'm sat in Bede Park for a moment. The ground is quite sodden and muddy, and there's a few people out wandering about. I think it's half term this week, which means that a lot of people have not had to homeschool this week and not have to sit in front of computers, so they're out getting some fresh air. So if it doesn't rain too much in the week, I think most people will be getting the opportunity to get out and about and shake the cobwebs off, despite it being still being in lockdown, and despite the kind of shops being closed and things. So the parks are going to take on an importance which they have had in the past, but it just means that we can all come out and kind of stay away from each other and at the same time enjoy each other's company. So what I thought I'd do on this occasion is just reflect a little bit on the experience of what lockdown's been like and how I've kind of been coping with it and what the kind of main issues have been from keeping sane and balanced in my own life. And one of the things I've started to do is these sound walks, and that helps in that process. So what my strategic objective is really not to follow a path today, but I'm going to find places where I can sit, enjoy the sunshine, and just listen to what's around and reflect and bask in those sounds for a few minutes, and then see what kind of thoughts it prompts and what kind of memories. Almost in a way, I think one of the things that would be handy for us to do is an oral history of the lockdown and people talking about and sharing their experiences in their own words, in their own environment, not being told by the big media corporations of how they should think and what they should say, but people really describing their own experience. And this might just be one contribution and one way that we could do it, but it's worth seeing how it works and seeing what people think of it. I've wandered down to the DMU campus, and a few things that they changed when they redeveloped the campus a couple of years ago was they put some green lawns down, what was formerly kind of an assortment of 1960s style buildings got demolished, and the River Soar, the straight mile runs through this part of Leicester, and the campus is just overlooking the river, and they put some steps in where you can sit and when the sun's out it's quite pleasant, and there's quite a few people around today out and about on their bikes. There's a few kids, children out playing in the parks, and I think there's people just getting a bit of fresh air. I never really thought about keeping a diary through the lockdown, because you know, you're sitting at home a lot and looking at the walls or reading a book or watching TV or something, and how we record our thoughts and our feelings about what we've collectively and individually experienced is hard to put into words sometimes. And maybe we need to start to use the you know, the techniques and the technologies that we've got of things like radio, and record these things and share them. And you know, that might, you know, it's keeping more of a sound diary. So when I look at the idea of doing sound walks, it can include a bit of, it doesn't have to just be about information. It doesn't have to be like I did last week doing poetry. It can be just, you know, kind of trying to put into words what the overwhelming feeling is about the collective experience of being locked down and through the pandemic, and the kind of anxiety that that generates. So it's everybody I speak to, there's a real sense of kind of like everything's bottled up, and you know, I'm not homeschooling any kids or anything, and trying to manage a job at the same time. But I can understand that it's like you never can switch off. And then when you do try to relax, you know, the TV is full of things like zombie movies and horror films, which doesn't work for me. They kind of fill me with more anxiety. My head's full of enough anxiety. I don't need to be having it. I don't regard horror films and, you know, kind of violent thrillers as a form of relaxation. And there's a kind of lag, if you like, of what we consume. So the best moments I've had have been when I've been sitting on the sofa with a pair of headphones in, getting to listen to some music for a few hours and to read a book at the same time, and to really switch off and zone out and not be worrying about things. I'm a bit of a news junkie, and so I was constantly flicking through Twitter, reading the new, you know, flicking through the different news websites, and trying to almost keep up with things that are going on. But that kind of, in a way, you get information overload. One of the things I've started doing recently is watching videos of people walking around in people visit Japan, and they walk around with a camera and their phone, and they just walk through a shopping district or restaurant district in Thailand, and it's like 40 minutes of just genuine relaxation. I like to mooch, I like to be about and wandering around, and this is something which is, it's almost a virtual way of doing that, and in a place that I've never been but I'm curious about. And so to some extent, it's, you know, people make a different set of choices about what kind of media they want and what kind of media they find nourishing, rather than, you know, just really following everything that everybody else is watching because it's popular, or because you're expected to watch it, or you're expected to know about it. And taking time out to open up some space where you can do, you can allow your feelings to be expressed. Or there's, you know, if you're not quite going as far as allowing your feelings to be expressed, at least you're not actively suppressing them through distraction. So I wonder what we'll carry on doing after the lockdown has eased a bit. Will we go back to the kind of gregarious, extroverted world that was in place and that was kind of, you know, on steroids, you know, hyper, I hate that word, but you know, hyper extroversion, where everything was about doing something and being seen to be doing something, and very little space for contemplation. And I found the process of sitting quietly for a few hours, or the possibility of sitting quietly for a few hours, has been much more beneficial. And it brings up things. I was listening to a podcast about Jungian psychotherapy, and how an analyst was talking about the idea that, you know, we're activated, we're expected to be activated, and learning to find where the off switch is. But that presents a set of issues. We're not used to sitting around. We're not used to being by ourselves. We're not used to being, you know, finding our own entertainment. We've become a world very much driven by external entertainment, external stimulation. And maybe for some of us, the lockdown has been a way for us to find our pathway back through that, if you like. No doubt there will be a return to people being busy. There'll be a sudden, when this lockdown finishes, will it be like the end of the lockdown last summer, when, you know, thousands of people on beaches and people going camping and just to be out? And, you know, one of the big things that happened last time was lots of litter. This time, will that be the same? Will we have this suddenly, you know, we've been released from our prisons. Will we suddenly, you know, go crazy again? Or will we moderate our behaviour and think before we do things? I'm an observer of human nature, and I'm kind of an innate people watcher. And people can be both fascinating and infuriating at the same time. And we're all cut from the same cloth. You know, we all have the same kind of drives and temperaments, and they might be expressed in different ways, and we put them into different contexts with our cultures and our faiths. But, you know, we all want to be part of society. It's no wonder that prison, for example, is a harsh punishment, because it's a punishment of exclusion. We're taken out of society. And through the lockdown, we've been in a situation where, you know, we're no longer participating in the full range of activities that we once took for granted. And you know, it would be great to think that we don't take them for granted again once we do get out of the lockdown, but not everybody thinks like me, and not everybody wants to express things in the way that I do. So, you know, come on a sound walk with me and talk about it. That would be a good next stage, suitably masked up and socially distant, of course. Outside the what used to be the Fenix building, and it's been refurbished and turned into flats and shops and apartments and offices. So there's a bit of building work going on. And it was the Gresham building, which was built in 1880. There's a big poster outside on the hoarding. It was constructed in 1880, but the most iconic feature, the corner, where there is a heavy wooden overhang, dates from 1884. The former Fenwick's building is being brought back to life, and the design has been developed to emphasise the building's period features while creating high-quality residential and commercial space. I've forgotten about the sound of the building work. You kind of have this idea that things like this will be over and done within a matter of days and weeks, but sometimes they take months, and especially while the ground has been frozen and covered in snow, I suppose the work has slowed down and stopped. Now that the weather has changed a bit, they're going to be full tilt to make up for lost time. I'm now sitting, and it's one of those walks where you don't walk, you sit. I'm sitting at the bottom of Newark, junction of King Street, what used to be the City Council offices, and again, just watching people go past. It's a couple of people on their phones, a couple of people on scooters, people having a smoke while they walk. Just ambling around, really. There's not a lot going on, but people seem to be intent on making the most of the sunshine for a few hours. One of the things I've noticed with the lockdown is that the sense of time has changed. And I was reading about this the other day, that the kind of, we follow the solar calendar ever since, this is the theory, ever since the introduction of farming and the agrarian economy, and when we shifted away from the kind of grazing and hunter-gathering culture, and once we settled, we had to count the seasons and the cycles of the sun, whereas prior to that we'd largely counted the cycles of the moon, and hence 7 days a week, 28 days in a lunar cycle. And I've started to notice that because I'm not following the solar calendar so precisely, I'm measuring time more by things like each week the bins get emptied on a Friday, and giving up that sense of engagement through longer term planning. You know, describe it as my sense of befuddlement is the word I've used to explain what day is it. You know, you're chatting to people and it seems like an endless cycle of Sundays or Tuesdays, and you're never quite sure what's happening, when things are happening. And that's because, you know, our experiences are artificially managed through calendars. We're not responsive to the seasons in the way that we used to be. We live in our urban areas and our cities, and I wake up in the morning, check my emails, check my calendar. I check to see what's coming up through the day. It's measured by the half hour, 15 minutes. You go from a Zoom meeting to a Teams meeting to a phone call to checking emails to following up. And again, it was one of those really nice things at one point in the lockdown, I was quite fortunate that I kind of didn't have that much in my diary other than that which I created for myself. And so I was reading a lot more. And, you know, an afternoon could go by where you were engrossed in a book or you were listening to podcasts and music. And I find I get out and I like, one of the things I do when I like going out for a walk is listening to a podcast and an extended discussion. So 40 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour of a podcast is quite pleasant to listen to when you're strolling about. It serves two functions. It cuts down on the traffic noise. I've got some noise cancelling headphones, so you haven't got that constant rumble in the background of the traffic. And two, you kind of get lost in this world, whether it's radio, whether it's podcasts, whether it's music. Get out for a walk and listen to something, and you kind of find that you get kind of lost. I've always done this. You get lost in your own thoughts, and you kind of get back and you feel refreshed. I was feeling a bit stressed on Friday evening. I'd had a very busy week, lots of work-related discussions and things to do, and by the time I had finished doing a bit of tidying up around the house on Friday evening, I wanted to sit and read, and the temptation is to defer that and put something on the TV, and that didn't appeal to me, so I actually managed to be able to sit and listen to some music, and that was pleasant. Some people going past, let's capture what they're saying. One of the other techniques that I do is when I'm making podcasts and things and talking to people online, I always wear headphones. And it's fascinating that you kind of listen to people in a very different way. You give it more attention. You're more attentive to what people are saying. And you can focus in more detail. What really frustrates me is when other people don't do that. Or they're using equipment that's kind of the microphone's in and out or shaky or sounds, you know, it's not very well positioned, or the room that they're in is very echoey. And we are dominated by a visual media approach, so to do things, sit and have conversations where we're just focused on the voice, I think is quite important to learn how to respond and to pick up on the nuances of emotion that people are expressing. And it really enhances your listening skills. And again, that's something I don't want to see as lose. I want to keep that. I think a lot of organisations have suddenly discovered that the management structure that they had in place was dominated by extroverts and dominated by visualisers. You know, things like everybody having to do PowerPoint presentations. Whereas the contemplative listeners, the introverted inner experience, prompted by the nuance of words and the nuance of sounds, is something we've kind of excluded from a lot of our culture. You know, it's restricted to churches and to temples rather than it being something which is part of your everyday experience. You know, now teachers are encouraged to use blended learning, multimedia learning techniques, visual, kinesthetic, oral, and that kind of capacity to just focus on one at an appropriate time and in an appropriate way is kind of counterbalanced by the desire and the need for edutainment. So maybe, you know, kind of podcasting, video messaging, instant messaging, you know, try it on your phone. You know, do you send messages to friends using the voice memo function on WhatsApp or iMessage or whatever platform you use, and Facebook Messenger? What happens if you put all of those together? Is that a radio program? There are a lot of different ways of exploring and thinking about how we can create meaningful radio and audio. And this is just me airing some thoughts about them.
You know what? No.
Just come over to St. Martin's Square, which is quite quiet today. There's a coffee shop that's selling coffee, takeaway coffee, and people sit on the park benches and have a sandwich and have a chat. And it's kind of eerily quiet. I suppose for the historical record, these are the moments that we will look back on and kind of wonder, was that real? I think part of the challenge with the lockdown is the slippage between what we think of as being real and what we think of as imagined. And perhaps there's not such a massive divide between the two. And sometimes it does us good to stay in our imaginary worlds. One of the things that Carl Jung says was we all need a fantasy life and we all need to be able to play. And there's a feeling sometimes that you've got to be busy, you've got to keep busy, you've got to be functional, you've got to meet targets, you've got to address so many. You know, if you use Microsoft systems, there was a lot of controversy a few weeks ago about the kind of monitoring, task monitoring, and you can check your employees to check how often they're checking their emails and how many tasks they're performing. And it can be very useful stuff, but it kind of takes over from what we think of as a meaningful experience in life. Life becomes just a series of allocated tasks that we have to keep up with and we prioritize. And they're very, they're great tools, but they're not living. And they're not communicating and they're not forming relationships with people. And it's not about deciding what we want to get done, what the good things are, what we value, you know, what we should or should not be doing. It's more a case of, hey, look at me, I've done 15 tasks today. And then when you actually look at what those tasks are, they're pretty useless and meaningless. Asking other people to do tasks, and they're asking other people to do tasks, and it goes round in an endless circle. And one of the things we've discovered, there's a book called BS Jobs, which basically asks the question, how many people work in jobs that actually do something useful? So the CEO of a large organization employs 4 or 5 people to write his PowerPoint presentations and his speech and provide the data. And now that all of that has been closed down because of the pandemic, are they jobs that we really need? You know, what we've found that we need is care jobs. And we need people who can look after each other and can do things and build things and make things happen, not necessarily only the administrators and the counters. And there's this kind of thing of an archetypal shift from a society which is based on accumulation, that prioritizes accumulation above everything else and the price of everything. We know the price. You have to count it, you have to calculate it, you have to measure the metrics, you have to the key performance indicators, whereas a society that is about caring for one another, caring for the environment, caring for the society that we will leave for future generations, is a very different approach and a very different model of being and engagement with one another. And I suppose what I kind of would like out of these sound walks is to develop some time, some space to maybe reflect on some of those things and think about what the priorities might be for the future. I don't know the answers. I have plenty of questions, and I'm sure people listening have plenty of questions as well. But how do we tease these out? We saw a great burst, an outburst at the beginning of the first lockdown for kind of presenteeism and doingism. So lots of people were doing things and telling people that they were doing things. Social media were full of people proclaiming, hey, look, we've changed all our systems and processes and we've done all of this and we've made all of these things available to everybody. And it kept everybody busy for a while, but did it change anything? did it make any difference? And maybe taking time out, that's what we kind of need to be doing more of, listening to one another, having conversations with one another, reflecting on what our we value and what our priorities are is going to be more important going forward than counting things and measuring things and assessing things. And that's difficult to do, to make that change, because we're a society that is fundamentally, you know, locked into the idea that everything can be measured and should be measured. And when you step back from that and you think, if we stop measuring things and they unfold in their own way through a kind of form of creative unfolding, a creative practice, then maybe that changes the nature of what we think society is about and for. And, you know, we need to look at these things and talk about them and explore them and demonstrate that other approaches might be valid and reinvent some things that we dismissed too easily or that we take for granted now. I'm just sitting at Leicester Cathedral, which I think I'm going to make my final port of call today. It's always quite pleasant. There's quite a few people sitting around, sharing, having a coffee, having a conversation. Small bubbles of small groups. I'll try and put a flask together for myself tomorrow. One of the things I really miss is getting out into the coffee shops. I'm a bit of a coffeeaholic, and I do like spending a couple of hours in a relaxed coffee shop, reading, doing some work, take my laptop in and sit and work for a few hours. I haven't been able to do that for such a long time. For a small period we could do it, I think last September, and then it was pulled away again. But it's, you know, there are more important things that make a difference to people's lives, quality of lives, than me being able to sit in a coffee shop. But it is something I kind of do, that sociability and that being able to just watch people go past and go by. So the cathedral is one of those places, one of those social spaces that's been, I've talked about this before, that's been here on previous occasions, that it's been redeveloped and repurposed, and it is a very nice environment for chilling out. And in a few weeks' time, the tulips and the daffodils and the tulips will start to come through, and that's always a pleasant sight. I can't see any snowdrops around me. I wonder if they come out and then go back in. Maybe. But I suppose it's time to start looking for the buds on the trees, and as the days get a bit longer and if things get warmer, we can still have cold snaps between now and April. So if you want to take part in one of these sound walks, or you want to do your own, send it to me. That could be fun. Could be something we can put out. But I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Rob W Media. Or if you want to email me, rob@robwatsonmedia.net. I want to try and, on a regular basis, have a guest that we can have a chat with, just for half an hour, 40 minutes. And I promise I will not leave my next sound walk until late to produce it, to get out and do it. I'll do it well in advance, thinking Friday afternoon. And I will do my best to find spaces that are sonically interesting. I'm actually quite on a personal level, the peace and quiet and calm today is very relaxing. I'm really not against it, but does it make interest in radio? And I think kind of as we tune into this, it's really fascinating the way that it changes your thinking, and that you have to allow things to occur and spaces. So I'm learning how to do this. It's new to me. If you want to take part and have a go at making something, get in touch.